your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Reiki Master and host Phyllis Lei Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today I have with me a lovely man from Italy. He lives in Rome. His name is Marco Casazza. And I've known Marco for, well, over 10 years at least. And a lot of the time that I've been together with Marco, he's been interpreting from Italian to English and back again in our workshops. And also I've known that he has segued from his life as a Reiki master, and I'll put that in quotes, to a life in the theater and acting, and he's been on television, Italian television. And it's just curious for me how this happened and how he sees his life as a Reiki master now. So, Marco, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, usually I start by asking my guests to share with us your story of Reiki, like how you got in connection with Reiki, and you must have been pretty young when you did.
Yes, I was in my early 30s or late 20s, I guess. Yeah. Oh, well, I was doing some rebirthing actually at that time, because I was looking for a way to work on some issues that I had. I had pretty heavy headaches since I was basically a child or a teenager.
Wow.
And, well, I wanted to find direction in my life that wasn't just, you know, growing old and, I don't know, get married and then die. I guess I was looking for some meaningful life rather than just survival. And I couldn't see very many opportunities in the life I was that was laid ahead of me. So I guess all of this came up, you know, in the shape of some of these headaches and some other minor signals. So I went and looked for some therapy or some help. And I got in contact with rebirthing through Lida Perry. I did a few sessions with her. And then there was this one day, well, the rebirthing sessions were very intense for me. They were great. They brought up lots of great emotions, and I worked on things, and things started moving and happening. But they were very, very intense and kind of exhausting for me. I came out exhausted from them. Because, you know, I always went, how do you say, head up, head down. Whatever. I mean, I was very determined to get something out of the session.
All right, so you dived right in. And
yes, it wasn't very soft for me. My approach wasn't.
Right, so you say that rebirthing is a soft approach, but I can see if you have a lot of emphasis behind it, that it can be very challenging.
I guess I was impatient to get somewhere or get something out of it. So, one day, I came to Lida for the session, and I was so, I don't know, I was upset, I was nervous, there was so much going on, and I was just too agitated, I guess, whatever. And she said, why don't we try something different today? I'm going to give you a Reiki treatment. I said, what has that? I mean, what should I do? And she said, you just lay down, and I'm going to just lay my hands on your body in a few positions, and you don't have to do anything, basically. Just be there and be willing to be there. And that was great. Sounded wonderful. I'm a lazy person, after all, on the other side, so I love, you know, comfort and so on. So that sounded much more restful than my experience with rebirthing up to that point. So she did. I laid down on the little couch. She put her hands on my eyes, and then she went on with the positions. And in minutes, my body relaxed completely. My mind was completely, like, off, like with a switch.
Wow.
And I could feel all of my body being so heavy. I felt like my little finger was heavy as a fallen tree. I would never move it again, and it was perfectly okay. So that was curious and peculiar and exciting and wonderful. Basically, that's my first impression of Reiki, was this wonderful rest. And it was okay to not having to do anything.
Uh-huh.
I'm a very impatient person. I'm a very anxious personality.
So
I need to get results again. It's always kind of a struggle for me to get things. And Reiki has been, since then, the best way I've ever met for someone like me, I guess. Because it really gives me a space where I can be there and let things happen, and then of course there's work to do,
right?
But it's less of a struggle than an allowance, you know, an allowing things to happen.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It was the first lesson I received then, I guess.
Uh-huh.
So that was so good, and my headaches were much better.
Great.
So I decided to ask Lita if this was something that could be learned, because I had this feeling somehow. And she said, yes, there is a class coming eventually. Oh, no, wait. First, I moved to Rome. And actually, that was months later. That's fine. I never told this story, so the details are kind of mixed up. That's right. I moved to Rome. I got more treatments with Antonella Vicini. And I found out that she was organizing a class for Marta Getty, which is my master. And I decided to go right away. And during my first degree class, I received my first initiation, and then we practiced. And I felt something in my hand that I had never experienced before.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful to feel that something was really happening.
Uh-huh. As a doing sort of person.
Yes,
yeah.
I guess so.
Great.
I needed some feeling that something was moving physically, really, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So it was great, because it was not just something I had to believe in.
Mm-hmm.
It was something I could feel and perceive as it was working.
Mm-hmm.
And the other aspect that really caught my attention and my passion was this thing of not having to control how good I would do that. No,
right.
I only had to practice the form, and there was this natural balance that took place. Without me having to be good enough or careful enough or so on. I just need to be careful about doing, practicing the form as I was taught. And it was really simple.
Great.
And it gave my mind an opportunity to rest or to think about other things.
Right.
Maybe during treatments, and it's okay. So I didn't have to focus and be a good... executioner is a different word in English.
Probably executioner isn't the word we want.
Definitely not. You know, like a player, like a musician, for instance, who plays a piece of music.
Yes.
No, it was more like abandoning myself to the music than making all the notes exact.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And so I shouldn't worry about that. And that gave me space to be with the person in a way that I had never experienced before. So this connection that happens despite all character or personality differences, or whether I know them or not, and so on, it was completely new. And in the class already, you know, after one initiation, it was there. You know, I still feel that, you know, it was right away. And it was fantastic. It was absolutely like heaven. So I think that was the first moment when I thought this might be something good for me to follow, to keep doing. And I was sure, I knew right away that I would go on with this practice, that it was the right thing for me at that point in my life. So a few months later, I took my second degree, actually about a year later, and that was another... do we have time? No.
Yeah.
Okay. That was another step in this experience. It was like a leap, really, in the perception of the possibilities of this connection with other people. I had this funny experience after the initiation of second degree. Marta sent us out for a walk in the streets. I was in Trieste at that point. And I felt like I was in a kind of a trance. It was a strange situation, strange perception. I could see all the people around me. I could hear them. And I felt like, yes, I had a connection with them, but I didn't have to do anything about it. It was a feeling of freedom and oneness and wholeness that was not the same as being separated.
Uh-huh.
So, again, for someone like me who has this tendency, culturally and personally, to consider a lot, to sometimes worry a lot about what others would feel like with me or mm-hmm. with what happens, and of the dynamics. I'm very sensitive to the dynamics, the subtle things that happen with people. Even when I'm not involved, I often can feel or see the feelings in the room or what's going on between two people or groups or so on. It's very present for me and pressing. This feeling of having this kind of space between me and the rest of the world, which didn't mean being isolated or separated, was really amazing. I don't know if that had anything to do with really taking second degree, but that was my story of it in that moment. But it was deeply profound, and deeply profound is not really English, but it was very deep.
Yeah, I say that all the time.
Well, you know, my English sometimes is kind of creative. I make up words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's...
Not on purpose.
No, it happens. It happens in Reiki, though, that this phrase, deeply profound, is a little bit what they call redundant.
Yes.
But that's the only way we can go, because that's what it feels like, right? Yeah. And that's beautiful.
Find ways to
It's really
to
interesting.
Describe.
Yeah, it's really interesting the way you describe this space, that it's not separation, but it's like giving you this context in which to be with other people and be held, so you don't feel like attached in a dysfunctional way,
yeah.
but connected.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yet having your own space. It's a great way to describe it. For me.
Yeah, for me too.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, it's wonderful.
I don't know if it's true for anybody else, but for me, one of the maybe the core of Reiki, in my experience of Reiki, the core for me
uh-huh.
of my experience of Reiki, is the this journey toward a wholeness which is not separation. This
uh-huh.
is really the main
yeah.
theme. If I had to say there's one focus for my experience
uh-huh.
of Reiki, I wouldn't say that that's true for everybody. No,
right.
It's not that that's what Reiki is supposed to make happen. But for me, for sure, what I see, the Reiki has helped me and is helping me and hopefully will keep helping me to find my center and my grounding
uh-huh.
without having to cut myself away from other people.
Right.
Because I often feel too vulnerable, too sensitive, too whatever, you know, too open or too... concerned about other people's feelings and so on, as I was saying.
Uh-huh.
And yes,
it's about time for a station break,
okay.
Believe it or not. So we're going to take a station break now. We'll be back with Marco in just a few moments. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Al Mean for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's Seventh Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Are you tired of carrying a heavy wooden massage table around? Is your back sore? Or do you have imprints of cables and braces on your kneecaps after sitting and giving a Reiki treatment? Try a lightweight Astrolite massage table for maximum comfort. Contact us, call or Upasana at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm back with Marco, and he's just been describing a state of being that he felt. And, you know, a lot of times people talk to me about protection, and it doesn't feel like that's what you're talking about, but more safety. And there's a difference between safety and protection.
Oh, I would say so, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, so what's the difference for you?
Well, I guess protection was my experience, and it is sometimes still, of course. When I feel attacked and I feel like I have to shut myself down completely, because otherwise I would be hurt more. And sometimes it's even protection before I get hurt, because just in case.
Just in case, right. Exactly.
Which doesn't help much in relationships, I think. But, you know, sometimes it's either necessary or unavoidable. Inevitable, sorry. Mm-hmm. So, safety is something that I have sometimes experienced. It's the feeling that I don't have to defend myself, I don't have to armor myself, and I don't have to push people away or hide from people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can be there, be myself, and feel safe, which is the state of grace that I experienced doing Reiki treatments.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And when I give a treatment to, I can feel there is a safe space for me and for the other person.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny to be on the other side. You know, I began by receiving treatments, of course.
Right.
And I had this amazing new experience of feeling so safe. It was okay. I didn't have to do anything to be okay. I was what I was.
Mm-hmm.
And that was enough.
Yeah. So did your headaches go away?
Yes, they were much better. They come back when I'm very stressed, but not as seriously as... I mean, they are my favorite signal for when I'm worried or stressed or angry or whatever.
Right.
So it is my bleeping red light. But it's incredibly different than it used to be.
Wonderful.
They're not as strong, and it's much more rare. It's like they are my signal, and I have less reasons for that.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, as things change and somehow heal and grow, you know, there's new challenges, but also my ability, I notice, is to handle them, to face things, to face challenges has changed and grown.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I was saying, when I give treatments, that was another surprise. When I started giving treatments, I could find a way of I could experience more. It was like discovering it than finding it. I discovered that I was in a space of acceptance of the other person, which was not condescendence. It was just being there. I could recognize the other human being.
Mm-hmm.
and sometimes with somebody I didn't even like or know or whatever. But during the treatment, I usually have a moment that comes to me when I just see the other person as a being. I don't know how to say that in a way that doesn't sound cold, but it's not cold at all. It's like almost like seeing the child that he was. It's not this tender motherly thing. It's just the innocence maybe, of the person, mm-hmm. the grace of the person, if you want, mm-hmm. and mine that mm-hmm. gets mm-hmm. Connected for a moment maybe.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, that's just this person and that's me, and we're doing something together which is for the best mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. No, this mm-hmm. person and me, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, past or beyond or underneath all mm-hmm. the personality things.
Yeah.
And that's another safety that I experience, another form mm-hmm. of safety that, mm-hmm. that's really precious to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's rare. You know, as you mentioned, I work in theater and television and so on. And, you know, egos are pretty intense there, mine included. Otherwise.
Now, why do you suppose that is?
Oh, well.
Well, there must be something about the quality of the work. I mean, it's an interesting challenge.
I guess you need that in order to show yourself, you know, uh-huh. to dare to put yourself in front of a camera or on a stage and expect people to spend their time and money in order to see you do something. You need to have some assumptions about the fact that what you do and what you are is interesting enough for them to choose to do that.
I guess so.
Which sometimes is scary because you're not really sure about that.
Uh-huh. But I would have thought that it was your ability to portray another personality.
Well, that is true for sure. But
in theory,
that,
yeah,
there is yourself
that. Uh-huh.
that is also on display, if you want, there. I mean, it's exposed.
Right.
And so, through these masks that you wear, you really show parts of yourself that you wouldn't probably show to strangers in your ordinary life.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So, in some ways, I chose theater, I think, because there was another safe space for me to experience parts of me that I wouldn't be allowed or safe or even... You know, I would be put in jail. if I murdered somebody, for instance. But I can explore my sadistic, cruel, murderous parts of myself. No, my potential for that,
uh-huh.
without having to face real consequences.
Uh-huh.
But it does touch the real parts of me that are like that.
Really?
So it is.
Well, that's
a practice.
Interesting.
It is somehow a spiritual practice, if you want. I mean, art. No, well, I'm not saying anything new, but theater specifically, or the other acting, has been for me a harbor somehow where I could be and explore things, that parts of me that I wouldn't be able to even imagine or show
mm-hmm.
otherwise.
Well, that's very... It puts a very thoughtful place in me, because I would have never have thought of acting as a safe harbor, but I really get what you're saying, you know, about you. And do you think that this is in general a feeling of actors?
I don't know, I mean
it's hard to generalize, but
yeah, it's hard to talk to speak for others. I know a few, you know,
a
friends
few.
And fellows and mm-hmm. colleagues that would probably
say the same thing.
Uh-huh. And for other people, well, I've met some that are more focused on the
glamour,
the prestige, the glamour, and the success, you know, which is a very nice part of it, to tell the truth. You know, it's a dance with balance again.
Right.
So
as you have moved in your acting career, do you use Reiki
Well, I Reiki myself every day,
yeah.
and it helps a lot with stage fright. Do you say stage fright?
Stage fright,
yeah.
Yes.
And I'm not always afraid of stage, frankly. But now and then, things get tough.
Right.
So that really helps. But Reiki is really a part of my life. It's like really, my arm is like breathing at this point, so I can't imagine my life without it. And so specifically when I think of my job as an actor or a director, I can see that it helps me be more centered and be more able to listen to what's going on.
But not just with your ears, exactly, your physical ears, exactly, but with other ears.
Exactly. Especially as a director, I must say. Uh-huh. You know, I started directing plays in recent years.
Plays meaning live
theater.
Live theater.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. And I think that came upon because I wanted to have more control and discernment on the themes that I would approach and the people I wanted to work with and the quality of my work. Uh-huh. You know, in professional work, you sometimes work in places that you don't really care about much. You know, it happens. It's job. Uh-huh. Or work with people that you don't have a strong energy exchange going on. Uh-huh. Or directors who don't really... with whom you don't agree all the time about
but
the approach.
But agreement is not really the issue, is it? It's more of having mutual respect about working toward a certain goal. I would think that some directors are more interested.
I must tell you, in Italy, we have a strong tradition of directors that are the main artist. I mean, they give a very strong imprinting to the play and to the show.
So you are a part of the paint rather than...
Basically, yes. And sometimes you're just a color. So you're not supposed to think. Uh-huh. Is that awful?
Terrible.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I chose to be an actor because I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to be able to explore things.
Yeah, so you want to be a part in partnership with the director.
Exactly, rather than just being a piece of a mechanism that he was the mind and no, he was the artist.
Ah, I see.
So it's not about ego. I mean, it is about ego sometimes, but it's not about competition with the director. It's about working together and having a common ideal or goal.
Right.
Which is the show and a vision they want to present to the audience.
Right.
So that's how I like it, and that's how I'm trying to work when I'm a director. And I choose to work with actors that I know or that I feel I have something in common with, not just personality-wise, but that we want to share a certain quality of relationship with the people. It's an energetic art. Acting is an energetic art. You don't do it on your own. With a canvas, you do it with people, so you can feel them. I mean, I'm not saying anything new. You heard that probably thousands of times from actors or performing people, but you can feel the audience. It's different every night. Sometimes I am asked. People ask me, you know, how can you do the same things over and over and over and over every night for
months?
Well,
that's a really good question.
The same thing. I could ask you, how can you perform the same form of treatment over and over and over for years? It's always the same. Isn't that boring? What would you answer?
Well, that's a great question.
It's not the same because people are
same.
Different because I am different.
Uh-huh.
Every treatment I do is different.
Uh-huh.
And so it's the same for every performance.
Wow, great. That's deep to know. So when I go to the theater now, I don't have to say, oh, I wonder if this is one of their boring days.
Well,
or because the audience is boring.
It happens too, but it's not because of the repetition, because it's like, it's a form that gets defined during the rehearsals, and then you practice it with different people every time. It's not different, really. It's not so different.
Wow, that's neat. What a nice insight.
Or teaching classes.
Right.
My training as a teacher helped me a lot in my work as a director, because, again, listening in a way that's not just with your ears, feeling what's going on, understanding what is called from you, what's called upon from you, from the people you have in front of you. You know, the actors I have working with me when I direct a play are as eager as I am in the best possibility. I mean, what at its best.
Yeah.
To deliver a good story, a good experience to the audience that will come.
So, okay, I have to stop you. Okay. Sorry. We have to take a station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back very shortly.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere. On the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolite massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something? Let's go! All right then. Hit it. I know you can hear this. Hey guys, move closer. That's it. Girl, I am not leaving.
Hey, whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming! Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office. Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today we're talking with Marco Casas. Is that how you pronounce your last name?
It's Casas. It's almost perfect.
Almost. You know, one of my great challenges as a host and also as a facilitator of many workshops and seminars all over the world is that I get to learn how to pronounce names in different languages.
I can imagine,
which
how
is
tough
an amazing process. I have to say that some of my friends in Russia have to suffer for years before I finally get their name. It's really sad. So, Marco, we were really in an exciting conversation about this similarity between acting and directing plays and then realizing that the audience is really a part of your performance. And you know, I first got that very clearly when I went to hear the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra in Vienna. Mm-hmm. And the audience was so different than in the States. I mean, totally different.
Oh, yeah.
So in the States, even though they're not really sitting on their hands. It felt like that in comparison to the Vienna audience, who knew every note, they knew every movement of what was going to happen next in the music. So there was a part of me that thought, well, this is kind of boring. I mean, don't they want to be surprised, which is my approach, because I didn't know the music so well. But they're breathing and listening, and they're with the musicians in a way that creates this symbiotic relationship. Mm-hmm. So it drew more out of the orchestra, I feel.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the audience was right there with them. I was really blown away by it. And since I've gone to concerts and operas in other countries, and I look for this quality, and I have to say that I've never had the same sense as in Vienna. And of course, the Viennese are very proud of this particular relationship. So I can totally understand why.
Yeah.
And I guess that's why people can do Shakespeare over and over and over again, and go to see Shakespeare over and over and over again, and know every line of the play, but you're living with the actors who are producing it. So do you have like a philosophic message in your story? Or in your acting, is there something that you want to bring out, you know, in the play that's your own personal take on what's happening in this?
Well, it depends on the play, but when I can choose the play, yes, I usually choose plays that I believe are worth sharing in this particular moment, maybe. For instance, I'm now trying to get the rights, and I'm dealing with the agent who's not really responding of the author, and for a play that I really would that I think would be really precious for the Italian audience in this moment of time. Story of a transvestite who lived through the Nazi and communist regimes in Eastern Berlin, and she survived all of that in adventurous ways sometimes. And the way she's portrayed in this play, it's a monologue, but one actor plays like 45 roles.
Wow.
It's amazing. It's an amazing challenge for an actor.
Yes.
She is portrayed as a very human and not flawless at all person. I mean, she is possibly responsible for the arrest of a friend of hers. But you know, there's different versions of that. It's controversial. And so she gives her version and so on. And that's the other official version, etc., etc. So that doesn't really matter now, but by choosing this play, if I can really do that, I feel that Italian audience might have an occasion to think about themes like that, you know, humanity and the right to be who you are, and having to deal with judgments or you know, regimes that don't allow you to be who you are. And this is true for everybody. You know, we all have to deal with judgments
and
boundaries and suffocation of our real nature, whoever we are.
Well, it sounds like a fabulous play. I would love to.
It's beautiful. I really hope I can get the rest of it.
Right. Well, let me know if you do.
That
sounds really beautiful. And
but may I say another thing?
Yeah.
While you were speaking about the Viennese Philharmonic Orchestra, I was thinking about what happens when you tell the story of Reiki.
You know,
people want to listen. I want to listen to that over and over and over. People come back to classes in order to listen to that.
That's
they
true.
Know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
They've heard that many times, perhaps. But every time you, I mean, it's not like a symphony. It's somehow more, in my experience, if I had to say that. Of course, there's a transmission of wisdom and energy, and it's part of our system. And there's a lot of. Well, you know that.
Yeah, but you know, I have often wondered if musicians feel like they're recreating the vision, and I don't know if that's quite the right word in music, but the vision of Beethoven or Schubert or Chopin, or, you know, that they get into this personality, because when I tell the story, I close my eyes because I'm living the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm living the story as I'm telling it. So quite often, even though my mind would like to put a part of the story in, often that part of the story doesn't come out.
Uh-huh.
Because somehow, maybe for the audience, so to speak, that's not the part that is drawn out of me, but there's another part that gets drawn out of me. So it's interesting.
You might be a great actress, I guess. You have the background for that.
Really?
Well, it's not so different.
Uh-huh.
Experience, you know.
Uh-huh.
A storyteller. After all, actors are storytellers.
Uh-huh.
We just, you know, take on one piece of the story, perhaps one role or one character,
right,
rather than all of them. In the case of the play I was mentioning before, the actor really does all of them. So,
right.
But really, you are almost possessed by something in a good way. You know, it's like,
yes,
it comes through
you.
Yes,
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And it's drawn out of you, mm-hmm, just what is necessary, and it's not so much different when you do a treatment again. You know, it just allow yourself to be inhabited by something,
uh-huh,
that goes where,
uh-huh,
it has to go,
uh-huh, uh-huh,
if there's a demand.
Uh-huh.
The audience really makes a difference.
Yeah.
I find that in classes, you know, students are very, the classes are very different depending on what students feel like and ask for and are hungry for. Some classes ask for less.
Yes.
Maybe they can't take in more information than that or more depth,
uh-huh,
than that, and the language,
uh-huh,
changes.
Yes.
The way
it
I speak
does.
To them changes. I mean,
yeah,
we all have this experience,
yeah,
by teaching.
Yeah. So I just want to be clear that you're talking about Reiki classes, not
oh,
acting
yes.
classes.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Because I'm interested in rehearsal. Like, then when you rehearse, you're like learning how to drive. You're just learning how to act and be with each other and so on. So your attention is more on each other as the company, so to speak. And then you take that and give it to the audience, or...
Well, again, it depends. It can,
uh-huh,
depend mostly on the director and the quality you want to create. I usually have the tendency to consider the audience even when they're not there yet.
Uh-huh.
I rehearse, and actually, before rehearsals begin, actually, in the preparation of my work with the script,
uh-huh,
I have to decide how I want to deliver that, what kind of a relationship I want to build with the audience that will come. And this includes, for instance, the arrangement of the room, when I can change that. Will
but
they be close to me?
Uh-huh.
Will the actors be on stage and separated and or beyond the curtain? Will there be a curtain at all? Or will it all just begin as people come in? Will we interact with people directly? Or will we play declaring that we know they're there or pretending they're not?
Mm-hmm.
That makes a big difference.
Wow.
In the experience we all will have. And the other thing about rehearsals is we don't only have to focus on the interactions between characters and actors,
uh-huh,
but as you said, it's like learning to drive, and it's like we have to focus on the road. It's like we practice driving on that specific road, learning all the curves, etc. It's like a from F1 thing, you know, you have to learn how the road goes so that you can do that without thinking,
right,
afterward,
right,
and you just let yourself,
right,
go.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's part of the training as a master also. I think for me, at least, my experience was going over and over and over and over the form,
uh-huh,
just being there and going through that and listening to my master teaching and dealing with the questions and answers and telling the story and sharing all the elements. It's like it became a part of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't have to think about it. And when I teach classes in Reiki, I don't really have to decide what to say.
Uh-huh.
It's like, I mean, sometimes, yes, of course, there's more mind involved.
Right.
But most of the time, really, the students call upon for what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. The rehearsals are good. I think maybe the training as a master is like rehearsals for an actor. So you can perform without worrying about forgetting your lines.
Right.
You can't think about forgetting your lines when you're performing.
Because
you need to
you'll
be
forget
with the audience
them.
And just say them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You'll forget them. But you do.
All right. Great. Okay, Sorry, I have to interrupt you again. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The law of attraction is very much in today's public awareness. In reality, it is not a new concept. Join Liana Carbone for Living Wisdom, the Art of Shamanism and Spirituality. Discover the roots of the law of attraction and go beyond its theories to manifest a life of balance and prosperity. Living Wisdom can be heard each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network. Come join us to dream, learn, and heal.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Reiki practitioners everywhere prefer Astrolite massage tables because of optimum portability, leg clearance, easy setup, comfort, and quality. For 15 years, Rampa Enterprises, previously Magic Flute, has been shipping tables around the world to the global Reiki community.
Why wait any longer to get yours? Contact us now through our website at www.portablemassagetables.com and we'll help you select just the right table to fit your needs. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
With Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We're here with Marco, who has been just a fabulous teller of stories and really interesting, interaction between Reiki and how we teach Reiki and so on, and the theater and acting. And it's been a wonderful mesh of these different things that seem like very different somehow, theater and Reiki, but they seem to really be totally integrated into your life. And I assume that at some point when you really get stuck, that Reiki comes in very handy to soothe your troubled soul, but also to put energy into a situation. And I'm just wondering, do you run into other actors or people in the theater who have Reiki, and do you somehow interchange with that, or is it more focused on the theater part?
I have sometimes, maybe a couple of times, but it's rare. Mostly because I usually don't say that I have Reiki unless there's an occasion for that. So when I'm in theater, I'm an actor or a director, and so my master is there. My Reiki practitioner nature is there, of course, but I usually don't say that unless there's an occasion. So if somebody get hurt, you know, they twist their ankle or something. It happened once. I may say, do you want me to put it in my hand there? And I practice Reiki. I've been practicing that for a while. And if they say yes, sometimes they do. And they sometimes feel better. And that's good. But if they ask for more, what is this thing that you did? Then I may share a little bit more. And then if there's, I mean, I try to keep things pretty distinct.
Yes,
in
I think
my
it's
life,
good.
Basically.
But
yes.
I'm just wondering.
Yes.
Oh, it's just a,
yeah.
It's a question for me.
When I met people that had Reiki, in one occasion there was an actress that had Reiki, and there was a tough moment, and we kind of twinkled. Winked at each other. Thank you. And we both raked the situation.
In our group. And did it help?
It helped. Believe me, it did help.
Oh, great.
So that was nice to have an accomplice.
Yeah.
secret
great.
Fellow.
Great. So I have another question that you may or may not have a response to. So I'm just, it's just come up in me in the last few moments. And that is, in describing your own personal experience with Reiki and describing the experience of acting and then, I don't know, describing this great gift that Reiki has to offer, one of the things that is true for me is in my traveling around the world, going to different countries, I also observe, I think, a kind of different levels of healing. So there's the personal level of healing, then there's family, you know, family relations heal. But then I feel like there are these cultural things that happen, and that Reiki meets, in some way, the culture of a certain group of people. And out of the practice, there is this natural healing process that happens. And would you, have you been at all aware of that in Italy and in the last, how many years have you had Reiki?
Oh, since 1990.
Wow.
So it's 19 years.
Oh, yeah, it's 2009.
Yes.
So almost 20 years, actually. So, I mean, there's been a lot happen in this country. And just wondering if you feel that Reiki has met the culture of Italy and if there's anything that you can say about that or...
It's not an easy question. I don't think I've ever thought about that in these terms. I can see that I acknowledge, that I can recognize some aspects that are typically Italian in me that are not always useful or, you know, serving me for the best. And some are, some other ones are assets. But I agree that there are some cultural milestones somehow or cores that we need to deal with as a country or as a nation or as a population. Mm-hmm. If that's what you're thinking about.
Yeah, maybe it's easier to personify it in yourself rather than
to me. Yes,
generalize.
For myself, at least. I can easily be caught into pointing my finger. You know, I don't always feel comfortable in this country, which is mine. But, you know, I traveled quite a lot, and I grew up without feeling really enrooted into... It's not so important for me to be Italian or not. Whereas for lots of people in Italy, they're very strongly connected with their being Italian. And sometimes it's a very good thing, or my perception for sure. And sometimes it can be a weight somehow. You know, it becomes something that doesn't allow you to really get beyond your habits of thinking and feeling and interacting. And sometimes I get impatient with this kind of habits somehow, but I can recognize them in myself. So I guess I'll go back to what I heard you say all the time, that just Reiki yourself if you want to help your world. Because very often I feel upset about things that happen, and even politically now in Italy, I'm worried, frankly. I shouldn't, that's the first principle of Reiki, but I can't help getting worried sometimes because of the situation. I want to get into details now, but it doesn't look good for people's ownership of their own life and consciousness. So in order to work on that, I can either choose to feel helpless and victim and hopeless, or try and work on myself, raking myself every day and see what comes out of that. And I hope that my work as an actor and a director, meaning a cultural operator, and as a Reiki teacher, may perhaps put seeds of something, or just share possible points of view that are alternative to the habits that slow down this country. So I'd like to save the world, but I can't. So I mostly work on myself, and I hope that it spreads a little bit. If something good happens in me and I feel easier with myself and I can interact better with others, then I hope it will spread. I trust it will spread. That's the best I can say, I guess, about that.
Great. That's beautiful, Marco. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Phyllis. It was wonderful.
It's been a wonderful interview. Thank you so much for taking your time.
Thanks.
And for you listeners, what a treat, huh? So we'll be back again next week with another program. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network, and discover how you can find balance from within.